Rabbi Pinchas Breuer.
We do have three regolim every year. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. But obviously, Pesach plays a pivotal role in our yearly cycle. In fact, more than the other Yom Tovim. For some reason or other, we put much more emphasis on the Pesach than on the others. Even though each one is vital and important, but Pesach is something special. And the reason is simple, because Pesach is the Yesod of Klal Yisrael, the foundation, and it's also the foundation of all that concerns Emunah b'Hashem, believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the foundation of all that we have and all that we do. If we think of what went on in Mitzrayim, and we have to look at it a little bit, because not to forget, as much as Pesach is a flurry of activities, with the Pesach purchases, with all the shops displaying whatever they have and the excitement about it. But sometimes we tend to forget the tachlis of what Pesach is all about. It all leads up to something. And not to forget that Yesod HaDvorim is to be mechazik each year when Pesach comes, with a Seder night, with all the preparations. Not to forget, with all the preparation, the nafiyah samatzes, where so much is put into it, so many piskei halachos. But matzah is a meichlo d'mei menusa. It's a meichlo v'emunah, as the Zohar HaKadosh says. So obviously we have to discuss a little bit this point of what emunah is about. I have a few questions to ask. The whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, I'm not going to answer this on one foot, because I don't even know the answer properly. But a lot has been discussed, the way it worked, that they spent so many years in Shibud Mitzrayim, as much as it was for certain tikkunim they had to make for the chet of Odom Harishon, going into more the Kabbalistic literature, which is beyond us a little bit. But I want to put it more in a practical sense. The whole idea why we had to go through this whole Shibud of Mitzrayim, in such a difficult circumstances, unbelievably difficult, and without Torah. We didn't even have the Torah yet at that moment. And so many years to be in a country that was full of abomination, full of te'evo, the mekoyer atumah of the world, in terms of kishuf, witchery, whatever you call it, avoy dezor, idolatry, Tivus, Zimor, all that's bad. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates and is against. And this was an environment that Yidden lived all the years in Mitzrayim. What was behind all this? Obviously, it prepared us for Matan Torah, as it's mentioned in many places. But I want to say something more about this, why we had to go through this shibud before we actually reach Matan Torah. Another thing I want to mention, we all know that in the Torah it talks about chipozoin, that they had to leave Mitzrayim b'chipozoin, hastily, whatever chipozoin means, are they? And interesting is that the gula asido, that we're all anticipating, the gula asido that says, kiloi b'chipozoin selechu, uvimnusa, we're not going to go b'chipozoin. We're going to walk slowly towards the gula. The exact opposite of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was dafke b'chipozoin, and the osid lovo, it's going to be not b'chipozoin, as the Novi says. What's behind that? Why the difference between this and that? Another thing I once asked, and it's mentioned a lot in this forum about it, why the Torah was given in the Midbar. I know that when you have important Torah events, naming them, all the big stuff, they normally rent a nice hotel in a beautiful setting with all the niceties, and that's where they make this Torah Digger meeting. Yeah. Dirshu, etc., all these good things. I think Matan Torah was a greater event than all this. And yet, the Rabbeinu Shem seemingly didn't find a more appropriate place and a venue for this choshever event in the history of mankind, only in a plain desert, surrounded by the choshim, srofim, akravim, and a few camels as well, most probably. That's a place, the site, for such a choshever zach vi matan teura rei. Davkin the Midbar. And it's mentioned in Chazal that Midbar has something to do with Matan Torah. It's not so simple, just a mikre. It happened to be that it wasn't the Midbar on the way out from Mitzrayim. They happened to go through the Midbar. Obviously, the Rebbeinu Shloim wanted it to be that way. And it was a certain condition, how Torah should be given in the Midbar. And I want to understand it. I have an idea. Plenty has been said about it, but I want to just give you a certain idea that I have a thought on. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu had a little discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, at a certain point he even took a different line to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. When they left Mitzrayim, the Erev Rav, whoever they are, joined them. There were certain Mitzrim, they even say that they were the Chatume Mitzrayim, it's mentioned in certain places. The Chatum, the magicians and all these types, these were Oisik and all these mystic things, they came with. Somehow they wanted to join Klal Yisrael. They felt that the Emes lied there in Klal Yisrael was the Emes. But the Rebbeinu Shem was against it. He said, don't take them with, you'll only have problems with the Erev Rav. And the Erev Rav were sort of Geirim who joined them, converts to a certain extent. And the Rebbeinu Shem was not happy with Moshe's decision. And what do we see at the end? It's Erev Rav that caused all the problems in the Midbar. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, it's all famous thing I'm just mentioning, the Zohar HaKadosh says that wherever the Torah uses the Loshen Am, including the Chetu Egel, Vayaro Om Ki Voishes Moshe, the word Om is also a reference always to the Erev Rav. They're the ones who really prompted this whole thing, and they started it off. And then they slept in Klal Yisrael as well until Aaron HaKohen had his problems. Erev Rav. Any upheaval in the Midbar all came from the Erev Rav, and then the Ashpoah went on to Klal Yisrael. You see, the Torah very often calls Yidin B'nei Yisrael, Adas Yisrael, and the Zohar says in Vayakhe that excludes the Erev Rav. They don't belong to Adas Yisrael. They joined in, they were Geirim Gurim. But again, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to take them. He wanted to do some kiruv. But the Rebbeinu Shem was against this kiruv. And he knew what he was. The Rebbeinu Shem knew. Somehow or other he didn't put up a... prevent Moshe from doing it. If you want it, take them with. But you're going to suffer. You'll bear the consequences later. What was behind all this with this Erev Rav business? And believe me, they weren't part of Klal Yisrael because they didn't get into the Onan. The Onan that the Rebbeinu Shem surrounded, enveloped Klal Yisrael with, the Erev Rav were not inside.
When did they die out, the Erev Rav?
I don't think so. I haven't got a clear source for it, but it seems to be they didn't. They were surely part of those who stayed there, yeah.
We still have Erev Rav.
What? Now, all right, you give another drosha after me and you'll go talk in the present day circumstances. I have a lot to say about the present day, but I'm not going to get involved because I get too excited about it then. Let's talk more historically, but the lesson is obvious. Yeah, a lot of Erev Rav we have. There's a joke that was Rav. He was an assistant to another Rav who was functioning at the time, and he was getting old and everything, so he said on himself that I'm an Erev Rav. He's Erev Rav, he's about to become one anyhow. So Erev Rav, you should know, is not a simple thing. They caused a lot, and only Dosan Vaviram and the henchmen. Erev Rav caused all the problems, and I want to bring out a certain thing, and that the Eagle, it was all them. Then Eden later had to suffer because of them, Ali. I want to explain it, well, I put up these few questions. I just mentioned the Shibbo they had to go through in Mitzrayim in such difficult circumstances. The Indian of Kippozoin that was only Mitzrayim and Laosit Lov, it's going to be the exact opposite. Loitha Kippozoin Telechut, as if to say, Kippozoin will not exist in the future. And why was the Torah Dafke given in the Midbar? To understand that, and what was the discussion about the Erev Rav? And many more questions one can ask. I just want to bring out a certain thing here. The life of the Yid, the life of the Jew, is not simple at all. I'm sure you've seen the Mesillas Yeshorim, how he says it so aptly and how so clearly he explains that we are constantly waging a battle. You don't see it on people. Some people feel very comfortable and cozy on this world, but in actual fact, we are waging a battle all the time. Day by day, minute by minute, and second by second. There's never a moment we're not engaged in battle. It's not an easy thing. And it's a famous Chovas Halvavos that somebody came back from a war, from the war zone, from a battle full of medals and feeling very proud of himself that they won the war. She said to him, "You're beginning the war now, you haven't won it." She said, "Excuse me, I'm after the war, I've got my medals already for all the bravery that you showed." He said, "No, now there's another battle you have to fight. The battle against yourself, against your evil inclinations, it's a hurrah. This battle is going on all the time. And it's a type of a battle, and I always say I have a certain phrase for that. It's a type of a battle, there's never a ceasefire in it. You know, in every battle you have, even against your greatest enemy, they'll always arrange for a few hours or a day or two that you cease fire in order to be able to take all the wounded and all those killed away from the battlefield. Tell the Yetzer Hara, tell him your idea that they should make a little ceasefire with you, give you menucha one day at least, or one night. He won't even listen to you, he couldn't care less at him. When you're asleep, he's up, and all that, Lotan, Atu Yoshim, the Hu'eya, as the Chovas Halvavos says, so, very often he repeats that. So, we're having a constant battle with the Yetzer Hara. We have another problem, concerning our Emunah. The whole world is against Emunah. That's a funny thing to say, because you can see the Ribbono Shel Olam everywhere. But the whole world of Teva that we're living in, the world which is governed by nature, to a certain extent, because the world is kibin hogoy noyheg. There is a minig olam. Winter, summer, I don't know what's going on now exactly. This is a mishame etim. I never expect. I've been waiting all winter for a bit of snow in Yerushalayim. I come to Manchester, I have it in the middle of Nissan. I'm trying to see the Ilonis Hamlavlevim. I can't even see them. They're covered by snow. The brocha, you make a brocha for Ilonis. Can you see any livluv or Ilonis here? It's a different world over here, anyhow. So the Maisa, the world has natural laws, it's governed by nature. But we have to understand, the whole Teva that we're living in, we should take in our stride, this is part of life. And we have to arrange ourselves according to the Teva. But it's a battle. Because the more you get involved in Teva, and you live up to Teva, the standard, natural standard, you are sort of moving away from the true Emunah Bashem. Because the real Emunah in Eidlifte is that there is no Teva. Well, that's very hard. We're living in Teva and spending a lot of time arranging our life according to the Teva Digger laws. And at the same time, the Rambam says in Parshas Boi, the famous Rambam, a person has to believe that the world does not have Teva really. It's someone leading it, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Supreme. Abraham, Teva umin hogoy shel olam klal, we see daily. Constantly, from when we are born right through the years, we see Teva. So, Dr. Ramban, there's no such thing. There's no Teva, there's a Chadish Metuva, a Chol Yom Tomid. He's behind it, he's steering this world, he's navigating it. Not, there's no Teva that just happens to happen or something like that. And he said it in a very harsh, strong lotion, the Ramban. That's the tachlis of all the Nisim. All the Nisim of Yisias Mitzrayim. All the Nisim Hamfursomim. It's not to just remain with that. The idea of the Nisim is that from that we should learn that kol mikreinu, anything that happens to us in life, is kulam Nisim, and as I've said before, Abraham teva umin hogoy shel oilam klal. And if someone does not believe it, he says, Eloi chelek betoiras Moshe Rabbeinu. That's quite a strong expression. You have no chelik in Torah's Moshe just because you don't believe that everything is Nisim. So I think it's a very hard battle, the Boi Shalom. You know how much time we spent on all this Teva, where we get it from? From the Goyish world, obviously. But we spend so much time on our necessities, which are governed by Teva, much of our life, we go and learn a little bit, we daven, we do such things, sometimes with Kavona, sometimes without, but we're enveloped all day with Teva. And Rabban is teaching us there's no such thing as Teva. Torah has to enlighten you to understand there is no Teva on this world. What you think is nature is something, an established fact, it's not true. There's no Minhoge Shaloylam, there's no Teva, there's one Rebbeinu Shaloylam who's leading everything. To have the true Emun in Hashem. So Sofer said a nice word, an easy one. They said, even somebody decides to say Hallel every day. With all the sing songs, you know, it's nice, Hallel is beautiful. But the Gemara says he's a Mecharif u'Megadif. Mecharif u'Megadif, just by saying Hallel every day. And the reason is simple. He explains, because if you say Hallel every day, it shows you're only appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim HaGdolim that he did for us. Well, Hallel is full of it. Tzias Mitzrayim, Tzias Yamsuf, you know, the big things. But that's not what it's supposed to be. We have to believe that everything is Minhog, everything is Yad Hashem. There's no Teva Minhog Shel Olam. If you keep to Hallel, he says you don't. So we go back to the Ramban, that Ein Lecheli B'Toros Moshe Rabbeinu is a Mecharef U'Megadef. We don't say Hallel every day. We have to come to it to understand that in the Teva itself, the Yad Hashem is leading everything. So I said a nice word. I'm not going back to Purim just because we're just after it, you know. Sometimes Shonim always like to talk about Koirach or about Purim. But I have a nice word which fits to what I said just now. And I think it's a good title. I'm not the only one, I think, who says it. The Gemara talks about saying Hallel on Purim. The Olam is aware of that. The Gemara Megillah. What the answer the Gemara gives, one of the answers is, Kriyoso Zehu Hilulo. The Kriyas HaHallel, Kriyas HaMegillah, excuse me, this is the Hallel of Purim. In other words, it substitutes as if to say for Hallel. Right? Kriyoso Zehu Hilulo. So there's a Shaila in Halacha, the Bir Halacha discusses it, you might have seen it. The Halacha discusses if somebody doesn't have a Megillah, and not able to line the Megillah. He's somewhere stranded, somewhere, I don't know where he is, and he had not a Megillah to line. So might be should say Hallel. Because he has nothing to substitute for the Hallel. He doesn't have it for the Hallel. He doesn't have the Megillah, so he should say Hallel. But we don't do it. So I wanted to explain why not. If you don't have the Megillah, then it should line Hallel. So I said, chat it like this. On Purim, there's no mokim for Hallel. Because the whole idea of Purim is to be Megala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reveal that there's a divine hand behind everything that's going on here in nature, in the Hesed Ponim that we're living in. Without seeing Yad Hashem clearly, we should understand that it's Yad Hashem who's leading all, doing all these events. That's the idea of, as we see the whole story of Purim, comes together with loads of Nisim, even though you didn't see it with open eyes. So if you're going to start saying Hallel on Purim, you're going back to the Nisim Amfursomim. That's not the idea of Purim. Purim is the idea to see the Ribbono Shel Olam B'Tocha Hester. When the Gemara says Kriyoso Zehu Hilulo, it's not substituting for Hallel. No, the Gemara is telling us that the Hallel of Purim can only be said Derech Kriya. To put it in words, Kriyoso Zehu Hilulo, that's the way you say Hallel on Purim. It's not substituting for the other Hallel. So there's no point in saying Hallel even though you don't have a Megillah. That's how I wanted to explain it one day. So the whole idea is to come to the point to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything. I mean, Mele, all that happens in life, the ups and downs that we're all involved in, ups and downs, trials and tribulations, right through life. One day is different to the other. Even a half a day is different to the second half. You can have one day it sounds good, not good. We're up and down all the time. To understand, if Yad Hashem is leading everything, we'll take it in our stride. If it's a Teva, then you get lost with yourself. But if we understand that Ribbono Shel Olam is behind everything, so he's behind even our difficult times as well, for some reason or other. And he wants you to brave the weather here, to brave the situation and get through it, to be Oymed Minisoyen. We look at everything totally different if we understand that the Yad Hashem is leading it all the time. But there's another point in Klal Yisrael. We have to show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we are able, as at Matan Torah, to fight Our Mehalach HaChaim, that the Torah teaches us, against all odds. And that's how we started to function as a nation. From Avraham Avinu's time. Kol Oilo Mitzad Sheini, and Avraham Ivri, Me'Eivar Ano, he was on one side, the whole world was against him. That's the way Klal Yisrael started to function. Against all odds. Against all what the world has to teach us. Against all these Teva dimension. Against all idolatry and all these false idealisms you have in the world. We have Alma Halach of Emunah Vashem. There's nothing else that can compete with it. And it's been a fight of Avraham Avinu with such Mesiris Nefesh till he was thrown into the accustomed. All because he was being loichem against all odds. A Ruse bringing the Emunah Vashem. So it's a Teva around us, which causes a person to deviate from the Emes Digamunah, and at the same time it's the influence of the people around us who can also cause this, because they're living this life of Piteva without Emunah Vashem, and we're living amongst them in Golus. So we're caught up with them from all sides, we're being influenced from the Teva itself, which the Chura shows there is a Minhoge Shel Olam, and we have to understand it's not that, as the Rambam says, and then we have the influence of all the Goyim around us. That becomes a difficult thing. So this battle has to be waged. How do we do it? It's not easy to answer this question. So many people fall through the cracks. But thank God, Baruch Hashem, we still have people who do adhere to our Mesoira, and they want to keep up with the Emunah. I don't know if I've said it here before, but I have a pshat in a posik, which could be even Lamita Shel Toiro. There's a posik in Azinu, where the posik says, Zechoya Yemois Oilom. Binu Shnois Doya Vodoya. What's the meaning of those words? Remember the days of old, whatever the Chosoyla means. Remember the history of the from the beginning. And understand more deeply, Binu means, Bino is a bit more than Chochmah. Bina is a more deep understanding. Shnois Doya Vodoya. The years of a generation and a generation. What is the Torah adding on with these words, so to say? So I wanted to explain it. I'll just say it in short because it's more to elaborate on, but I just want to say the thought about it. It's one of the great wonders of this world, I tell you, from something which nobody can really rationalize to understand how this can happen. And the Goyim surely don't understand it. That we as a nation, Klal Yisrael, has managed to survive. Ad Hayom. Now, no nation has gone through all outsource. Right through the ages, you read the history books, I'm sure you know a lot about it. We were being battered and bashed about all through the ages. In all types of torture, killings, annihilating kehillah shleimus. It's unbelievable what Klal Yisrael suffered for every mitzvah they had to do. Under various rules, you know, right through the ages, the medieval, the Christians, with the communists, that we've gone through so much difficult periods, and yet we're coming out here to a certain degree, I won't say unscathed, but Baruch Hashem, we're here. And you look at the world today, even people who survived the Second World War, and they see what's going on today, the elderly gentlemen, they just don't believe what their eyes see, because people were really being miyayish at the time. This is it. Religion has taken its toll, it's the end. People sell it one to another. What are you putting on tefillin for it? There's nothing more to it. Oh, Baruch Hashem. I always say, with all the tainus they have against us, you know, we've never been perfect to the world, but I think the Ribbono Shel Olam made his good choice with us. If he would have taken some other goy, some nation, they would have long gone into extinction. He's a Gaulish immigrant, Finzei. We are fighters. And Baruch Hashem, we're here. I want to tell God he should be proud of us. Funny way of saying it. Baruch Hashem, we're here. But how did this come about? How did this come about that we managed this? You talk to Goyim, and I'm talking literary people, and I saw once an article, somebody showed me, he works for Discovery, for the Eshat Torah programs. He had about 10 to 13, I think, literary figures in the Goyish world, asking them how they explain the continuity and the metzias of Klal Yisrael in the world today after all they know what happened to us. What's going on here? Not one of them had an answer to the shayla. Not one of them had a clear answer. Everyone said it's something unusual. They don't understand it. Vos weiß a goy? A verständnis kein Esik. The real secret behind this is one thing. We adhere to Mesoiris others. That's what's so wonderful about Klal Yisrael. We believe in Mesoiris others. We're not trying to do anything new. We want to continue the path that's been taught for us, taught up. We want to continue. We're not starting something. The Goyish world is the exact opposite. Every nation wants to start with something new and to make away with the past generations. We live without tradition. How wonderful it is. You might have heard of it. It's always been said often by Nachshonim, I know, that the Chassam Sofer once stayed, he lodged by someone. He was out of town. He had to take a rest a little bit like he used to do. And he was there. And his Balboas, then at a certain point, the Chassam Sofer felt there was a commotion outside. His Balboas was telling them that the Chassam Sofer somehow didn't keep up to the halochas. Can you imagine? Opposed to Tamoritz, but he said the Chassam Sofer is not a Pesoyis Galten, because he was used when you come home and you make a Pes Kiddush by the Sudets, well, and Chassam Sofer didn't do it. An halochadige issue. And he came out saying the Chassam Sofer is not a halocha. He found something, a nice bit of news for the Oilam. And he felt it as a Chassam Sofer explained what he did, what halacha is, you know, he's trying to tell him. But then he said to himself, why did he deserve it, that people should say such bad things about him? He said, Bistomichol says you should not lodge by an Amoritz. That was the wrong thing that he did, but forget about that. But then he said, the Chassam Sofer said, at the same time, it was an uncomfortable situation for him, very inconvenient, but at the same time, it made him feel happy. Because he thought to himself, at the time when the Reform Judaism or the Reform non-Judaism was creeping and gaining inroads into Klal Yisrael, at that time, he thought to himself, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm still around, I'm fighting them, and he did it. He battled against them. He was called even a fanatic in his time. He was battling against them. Moshe Desso, Vesiato, and all the rest of it, as history has told us. But he said to himself, what's going to happen in a few generations? He saw the new enlightenment that came up, adapting to the Goyim, the emancipation issue. What's going to happen to Klal Yisrael in 100 years' time? He never knew. But he said to himself, Ribbono Shel Olam, if there's such a poshet to eat, with an ignorant Jew, nothing, didn't know anything, but he could come up and say on me, knowing what I was fighting for Klal Yisrael and keeping to the aloha, and he could say such a thing about me, what made him say it? And what did he base himself upon? Because he knew that his father didn't do it. So that's why he came out against the Chassam Sofer. All right, that means he's keeping up to a Mesoiris Ovis with such an emes, with such a simplicity. If Yidden can keep up a Mesoiris Ovis, the Chassam Sofer has an Achoma, he's comforted. It's surely going to keep up Klal Yisrael because every generation is going to follow the generation before him. That's what keeps us going. Heiliger Chassam Sofer. I want to say that that's a pshat in the Posik. That's the secret of our continuity. That's a secret. You know what doyevo doye means? Generation and generation. Meaning that one generation follows the other. He's not trying to break off and sever his relations with a generation before him. He wants to continue, take the vov, and join up one generation with another. So that twice in the Torah, I have a stickle Torah in there, but I don't want Tariq just to mention, twice in the Torah, Doya Doya is written without a Vov. When Amalek comes into the picture, when Chomel Hashem Amalek mit Doya Doya, and Zeh Shmi Le'oilom, and Zeh Zichi Le'Doya Doya, twice in the Torah without a Vov. Because whenever Amalek creeps in, he tries to sever the relationship between one generation and another. He wants to break off the kesher, and therefore he takes out the Vov, and he makes it into Doya Doya, not Doya Vo Doya. And it's very interesting. Well, Rabbi Amalek comes into the picture there because Mechome Hashem Amalek surely. But the other posik, Zeh Shmila Le'olam Zeh Zichi Le'Doya Doya, the Gemara says in Psochim that Zeh Shmila Le'olam Le'olam Ksiv without a Vov. Because it's when the Ein Hashem Sholem Ve'Ein HaKisei Sholem. Not the Shem and not the Kisei. When is that? Bizman Shezarech Shal Amalek Yishoylet Bo'olam. We don't mention the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly, and it's also, we're missing the Shem Havayah. It's all due to the influence of our Amalek. So it's interesting, Rashi on the spot brings another posik, Hashem Shimcho Le'olam, Hashem Zichrecho Le'doya Vodoya. And there, it says Doya Vodoya. The posik says Doya Doya. Rashi refers to a posik where it says Doya Vodoya. You know what the difference is? Because in the posik, it's mentioned Le'olam without a Vov, when Amalek is ruling. But the Rashi, the posik Rashi brings in Hashem Shimcho Le'olam with a Vov, if you look up the Rashi. When it's with a Vov, that means Amalek is not being shoilet. Then it's Taka Doya Vodoya. Because Doya Vodoya is the way we fight back Amalek. Choye Yemois Oilam. You want to understand the history of Klal Yisrael. Our survival. The Ness, the miracle of our continuity. Binu. A bit of a deeper understanding. Shnois Doya Vodoya. That we are a nation that lives up to the past and takes with the lessons from the past. We want to have it Doya Vodoya and to continue. That's the only way we can combat. The only way that we can combat. And if you have Jewish people trying to break off their relations, Ledavoneinu, we have non-frum elements. God should give them a hirotshuva. But the while they're trying to set up, even in our country, in Eretz Yisrael, Arzenu HaKdoshe, trying to break off their relations with the goddess of the past. It's a new generation now. We need the Torah, we'll manage differently. Mir kechol agoyim beis Yisrael. No chance for survival. If only they would know how much they have to rely upon us for to continue. They would go into extinction after a generation or two. Believe me what I'm saying. It's just because we have the Olam HaYeshivas, we have the former Yidden setting up settlements in Eretz Yisrael to such a degree. I see it with my own eyes. Nisim and Niflaos. They have to thank us that they're still around, believe me. But if you start breaking off relations with the old generation, Golus is gone for the past, we have a new style of Judaism here where you don't have to keep to the Torah, well, they'll end up in doomsday at the end, if that's going to be the story. They should thank us for being around. And Baruch Hashem, we still have those Yidden who do keep up to our tradition. I want to tell you one thing. Well, I have a feeling. Yidden in Mitzrayim had to go through a long, long period. It was 210 years, Xera was on 400, but it was 210 years. In such circumstances, in a situation where it was almost impossible to bring up your children the Derech HaMesoira, no Torah, no nothing, and on every corner, every Zovyes, every street, it was full of Avidazora with Kishuv and Tumme and Zimo, everything the exact opposite of Kiddush and all the rest of it. One thing kept us. There was a Mesoiris office. And the Chazal say it. They knew they were the Bnei Avrom Yitzchak V'Yankov. They knew who the Shvotim were. And they kept to that even without Torah. They showed, Klal Yisrael showed, that they are able to continue by keeping up to a Mesoiris office. And because of that, L'shinu Shmom, L'shoino Malbushom, they retained their Jewish identity because of the Mesoiris office. And the Ribbono Shloim wanted them to show Klal Yisrael, I'm going to give you a Torah, but what's the guarantee that the Torah is going to go on for generations to come? Now you see Har Sinai, you see Matan Torah, it's big, it's exciting. What about the Enenupoi, those who are not there? Or those you cannot say to them, Asherei Isem, what you saw. You did not see. You have to rely on the Kabbalah was before. What's the guarantee for that? Oh, but the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Klal Yisrael showed, being in Mitzrayim, that even before they had the Torah, Mitzrayim's office played such an important role in their lives, that they managed to survive in the most difficult situation that existed at the time. This makes me feel sure about Klal Yisrael, that once I give them the Torah, they'll always keep up to this Mitzrayim's office, how important it was for them. And that will be the guarantee of their survival. Boneinu yu arevim lonu. We're going to bring up children, we'll continue the Mesoiris of others. And that will be the schus of being able to continue. But in every generation we have this problem of adapting to the Goyish style of life. Now let me tell you, it's not easy. Somebody said a good word once, when two Yidden are arguing, and there's plenty of machlokes going on. Go to the Din Torah, you'll find there's always some arguments going on in a shul. So we think that Yidden are bale machlokes. Some said no. A Yid doesn't argue with another one because we're one nation, we're all one. It's a bit of goyishkeit that everyone had that's fighting with the other bit of goy in the other person. Every yid has a bit of a goy in him from influences. That bit of goy is fighting with the other bit of goy. A yid doesn't argue, hopefully. So that's it. When Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, they were on the way out. But they were so influenced right through the years that Alol Yoiv Davei Dezora, that the Bernie said, if I want to get them out of this Mitzrayim, it has to be Mechipozoim. Because they might get caught up again. It was so difficult. The Koitzer Ruach and Avoid the Kosher, like Shomuel Moshe, is that the Chazal explained it was because of Avoid the Zohar, not because of that short breath from the hard work that they did. It was the influence of Avoid the Zohar, as the Novi says in Yecheskel. They couldn't get rid of this influence, of the influence of Avoid the Zohar. And who knows, if they walk out slowly, on the way they might still think about, you know, perhaps we go back. Like they complained later as well. Something could have pushed them back again. So the Rebbeinu said, I'm going to take you out in a haste. You won't have time to think. Because nobody should have an influence on you. That's in the time when we're trying. Or Belosid Lovoi, when Mashiach is going to come, the Gula Asida, everything's going to be so clear. All the false idealisms, all the idolatry, all the schmutz that the world has to offer, is going to be seen clearly that it doesn't exist, it's nothing. It's against everything that the world exists on. So it'll be so clear by everyone, we won't have to go b'chipozen. We can walk slowly to the Gola. Nobody's going to influence anymore. We're going to see the voidness, what's so void in all that the Goyish culture has to teach us. You know why the Torah was given in the Midbar, as I mentioned before? Yeah, it could have been bought in a nice place, on some nice island off Greece, where they make the Seder night these days, sort of. Back to Yovan to find the enlightenment of the Seder with a bit of Gashmis Tzrochim as well. Don't worry about that. They take care of you. I don't know. I'm not going to start complaining because my Kehillah in America was always, when I started talking about Pesach, Rav, don't start again. I'm not against people going there. With his Shver, he has to take care of him. Very nice. But don't make it in a way, don't advertise, you know, that's the only Pesach you can have. Your wife will be a queen when she comes to the Seder. She'll be rested. She won't have all the hard Pesach work. Who are they trying to fool, these Meshugoyim, are they? That's what Yiddishkeit is about? That all our dear mothers and grandmothers who worked hard and scratched and scraped and others, that's down there, very primitive things, are they? We had the Balbatisha mentioned today. I wonder what's going to happen to their children and their grandchildren. We know what Yiddishkeit is about, so stop playing the game there. All right, I'll leave that aside now at this moment. I've plenty to talk about it. So, the influence, if they would, if Torah would have been given somewhere else, you know, in another nice country with a nice surroundings, we'd be influenced by the place we live in, because you know, every country you live in, its inhabitants, it's funny to say, I can tell an English Jew, I can tell an American Jew, and I can tell a French Jew. And I can tell an Israeli as well. It's the influence of the country that you're living in. Has a certain, not in terms of style of dress, in terms of behavior, the way you talk. I can tell straight away if this person comes from the States or he comes from England. England's always a bit more dignified. But you know, if you think of these people, you can always tell it. If you put up the Torah in a place which has already its customs and habits and all that, it would influence Klal Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want us to be influenced by any of the nations, like Avraham Avinu. Forget about them. They have nothing to teach us. What they're doing is all going into oblivion. It's a gornish. Look at their youth today. What are they going to offer? Gornish. They consider they're civilized. So the Ribbono Shel Olam Dafke gave the Torah in the Midbar, where there's no influence. Sand, dust, serpents, the Chotev Akravim, heaven above, perhaps a few camels as well, they won't influence us. Dafkin Amidbar. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants us to continue that way. We can live in a nice place, even in Manchester, wherever you want to be, but don't be influenced by anybody. Live like in the Midbar. Live like in an Onan. We're a separate entity. We think differently to the Goyim. Our whole style of life is different to the Goyim. The thing that we value is different to what the Goyim think. And all those who live that style of life. Forget about Goyishkeit. Don't let it come into your life. It'll only lead you up and on until Gehenna. Nor the Terech HaTorah is the only way. There's no other thing. And it's beautiful. It's nachmodim izov. Und zuke mit vashen oif esuf. And there's nothing to compare not to limud ha-toyre and not to kiyum ha-toyre. And to give this chinuch to our children. Baruch Hashem. So the Torah was given in the Midbar, as it. Ve'erev Rav, believe me, I think that dancing at the Eigel, it's enough they made the Eigel, with all the pshatlach they have the Eigel was, what it exactly meant, and there's limud schus on the Eigel. But I think this dancing at the Eigel was an Egyptian habit. They used to dance around the Avodah Zorah, and that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam was scared of. He was trying to shuttle off, to shuckle off from the Yidden, all the Goyshe habits, all the Goyshe influences which caught up with them, like when you go in a dusty place, you know, the dust sort of accumulates on you. So they had to get it off, rid themselves of it. And he was frightened the Erev Rav would come with. They didn't have the Mesoiris of us. They would come with their ideas, and even as much as they tried to convert and understand the Emes in Klal Yisrael, but they couldn't get rid of it completely. And that would influence them later in their thought. The whole dancing at the Eigel, this whole affair, was Erev Rav. Because they behaved in the way the Goyim behave in such cases. And the Rebbe Shem was so scared of that. Moshe didn't chop it at the moment. He thought it was good to be mekar of them. But the Rebbe Shem understood it much deeper. And he said, don't take them where you'll have only tzoros with them. And it's still haunting us till today. The whole cloud is so changed because of the Eagle just after. They went astray, chas v'shalom. That was it. So, looking at it from all sides, as we see, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to understand. I'm giving you Torah. I'm giving you, now, Baruch Hashem, we have the Torah. You've shown that you are able to keep up to Mesoiris of us. You've shown that you don't adapt to the nations around you. You keep up your tradition in all ways possible. And that's what kept you going till today. Do it further. Don't forget. Don't get influenced by the Goyim. And I want to tell you, it's potter like that. Even in our form world, you don't understand. You don't know how much many of us, many, can even lead a form type of life. But we are influenced. And it's not easy. We are influenced. Because we see it all around us. We read it and all the rest of it. So it's impossible not to be influenced. And we have to see that all the Teva, which plays such an important role in the Goyish world, the Teva and all the beauty and all the success they tell you, there's no talk of God ever in their vocabulary, no talk of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's never even mentioned, as if the world exists on its own, like a Doir HaFloga type of life. And we as Yidden have to understand, that's not the way we look at life. But we are reading what they have to tell us. And believe me, even the Jewish newspapers don't always talk in the full emunah digger way. No, they come up with these ads, what is successful in life, and if you do this, you'll be successful, and if we don't need God to help us along, what you do is going to be successful, because he gave you this idea, someone, he has some business shrewd mind, and if you do this, you're going to be successful in life, and you deserve this, and you deserve that. This is all not Torah digging, we're into it all the time. Then you have the Ezra Snoshim who come up with their ideas because they read this, they don't read this for him. So all they have, their Jewish knowledge comes from the newspapers, etc. Is that Torah? That's Mesillas Yeshorim Dig, Chovetz Chaim Dig, Chofetz Chaim Dig. That's the way we're being taught. So we have to shuttle off this geschäft here. If we want to be true Maminim and remain Maminim, we have to live the Jewish way of life and see everything in the light of the Torah. And not forget there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and he'll continue to do things for us until the end of everything, the end of days, end of mankind. So the Rebbe should help us. All I can say is that we should stay strong with ourselves, be mechanech our children in the proper way, and look to the Torah to be our guide and light in everything that we do. Yeah.